الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته I swear by time that all of humanity is in loss. Time is one of the biggest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon His creations. And the bigger the responsibility or the bigger the blessing, the bigger the responsibility. This particular blessing is the one that is being wasted the most. Water is a blessing. People waste water, but they become very careful that they don't waste it. You might see some people when they're trying to do wudu, they will turn the taps off so that they don't waste water in doing wudu. And when they're eating, they will make sure that every single morsel is taken care of and that there is no israf. There is not even one grain of rice is wasted. You will find individuals who are very much sensitive about electricity. Although right now I feel like I'm being interrogated with the light right into my eyes. They're very much concerned about electricity. They're just training me for the future. Salawat pray. So they're very much concerned about light. They will make sure that all the lights are off in their house other than the room that they are in so that there is no wastage of light. But the blessing which they should be the most careful about, that it is not wasted, is time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this particular blessing to swear by. And by Him choosing this blessing, it is an indication of how important this blessing is. That I swear by time that all of humanity is in loss. Meaning if you are not going to realize the importance of time, all of humanity will be in loss. We that live in this particular culture, we get bored very easily. Meaning, we have an attention span of 2 to 6 minutes. So if I've been speaking to you about 6 minutes, I've already lost you. You've already gone to your workplace, you've gone to your university, you've gone back home in Pakistan, you've gone to pay your direct energy bills, you have gone to pay your mortgage bills, you're everywhere other than this place. And the attention span is becoming less and less and less because we are plugged in all through the day as soon as we wake up to the time we go to sleep. Because this attention span is being reduced, the end result is that people get bored very fast. And when they get bored very fast, then they want a new TV, plasma, LCD, 3D, projector. They want the 2012 model before 2012 comes. They want the shampoo that says new formula, 33% more, 40% more. They're looking for new types of toys all the time. Oh, this toy is old now, I don't want this one anymore. Yani, they have Nintendo I remember we used to have Nintendo when it came out. Even if you go Atari, I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes.
We were very much satisfied with Atari, with having this game where you just have this, you know, ice hockey or table tennis or this shooting game. We were very much content. We never really asked for our parents any more games than that. But at that time, the attention span was longer and people were not plugged in as much as they are plugged in today. Since 1995, the internet became popular. People are getting bored by everything. And what do you do when you're bored? You try to kill time. You try to accommodate this boredom by something else. So they will turn the TV on, they will turn their laptop on, they will turn their iPhone 4 on, they will turn their iPod on, they will turn every single thing on, other than the most important thing that they needed to turn on, that was the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them on. It was that nature, it was that inclination, it was that love of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Not those things that are loved by the instincts of your animalistic side. When you have a higher goal, would you ever feel bored? Let's say I was to say to you that, what do we have in Canada, I don't know. We have the Federal Reserve in the US, which is actually, it's a private organization. It has nothing to do with the government. Let's say the Federal Reserve says that I will open my treasuries only for one day. And whoever wishes to take as much money as they would like, they can take it and carry it, and it is only open for one day only. Now what are you going to do during that day? Watch TV? Play up? Yeah. See, right now you like, let's say, Cadbury or Hershey's or all of these people who are actually supporters of other oppression. But let's say one of these chocolate companies were to open their doors of their factories and say that you can take as much chocolate as you like for the whole day. The factory's doors are open. For the adults, the money doors are open. If you have anything else that you desire, those doors are open and you have one day to take as much, and as many times as you like. Would you have the regular routine? No. Everybody would be lined up, they would be waiting, and they would be hoarding, and they would take as much containers all day, not even for one moment they will rest. They will forget about eating, they will forget about sleeping, they will forget about their family, they will forget about their job, they will forget about every single thing, and only use that one day of time to gather as much as they can from those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us 60 or 70 years. He said, I will give you 70 years, you take whatever you like. My doors are open. My doors are open for forgiveness. My doors are open of blessings. My doors are open for anything that your heart desires. But you will have to do certain tasks. Would anybody feel bored? You would say, Ya Allah, 60 years, 70 years is not enough. Can I have the life of Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peace and blessings be upon him. Assalamu alaykum ya Abdul Saleh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you wherever you happen to be and guide you and keep you happy and safe in the company of the 12th Imam. We are in debt to you because you are giving him company in this time of hardship where no one else is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and make us able to see you on that day when the Imam comes and you will be among the 313. Salawat wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This is a beautiful statement that the brother just said. Narai Hadri. We will come back, don't worry, where we were. Narahadri, first, let's see if someone can tell me what it means, because especially the Indian Pakistani community, our mothers have given us milk by listening and doing this nara. So we who have been raised by this nara, we should be able to tell if someone asks, what does it mean? Nara Hedri, what does it mean? You don't have to be shy. You want me to open the doors of my wallet? You don't have to be shy. Tell me if you know. Nara Hedri, what does it mean? See, there are many different things that we are doing for our whole life, yet we do not know what is the meaning of it. Nara Hedri means that I want you to shout the statement or the name of bravery. Nara Hedri means that I want you to shout and say the name which is the symbol of bravery. And that if you feel that you're not brave anymore, if you feel that you have become a coward, if you are feeling that your bravery has other steps that can be taken, then say Nara Hedri and say that name which will make you from a coward a brave man.
Nara Hedri!
And when you become brave, if the life will give you hardships of being poor, if the life will throw sickness in front of you, if the life will throw being poor and not having any shelter, if the life will throw oppression towards you, if you will have oppressors oppressing you, if you will have occupiers occupying you, you will say, Nara Hedri, and by saying, Ya Ali, you will face all of these difficulties. You will become brave. You will become just as brave as the followers of Ali. You will find the strength inside of your heart to be able to do things that are extraordinary. You will be able to fight any fight and be successful. You see? Now when you say Nara Hedri, and now when you say Ya Ali, big difference. What did we just do? We just explained to you what it means, what we have been saying for years. Now who and why and who will be a person who will not say Nara Hedri? But then, even if we got that long of a life, you know Dua-i Kumail that we just recited? Dua-i Kumail is the dua of Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam that was taught by him to Imam Ali, and Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam taught it to Hazrat Kumail, one of his companions. We've been reciting Dua-i Kumail for all of our lives. Maybe this information is brand new to you. But a person who has lived for thousands and thousands of years, if you understand the meaning of Dua-i Kumail, you will understand that this man who has lived for thousands of years and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thousands of years is crying and being humble and is feeling humility and weakness as if this person is going to die the next minute. This man was called Khizr because wherever he goes, wherever he would pray, that place would become green. And he accompanied every single imam. Was with every single imam, had relationship conversations, did the tasks that Imam assigned to him. This man is saying, Oh God, Please forgive the sins that I've committed that is going to stop my prayers being accepted. O Allah, please forgive the sins which will make me have dishonor in this life. O Allah, please forgive the sins that will get me into hardships in this life. He has so much fear, although he has thousands of years maybe still to go. We, who only have 60, 70 years, we are not afraid. We are not afraid that way. Why? Because we are haughty, we are takabbur, we are arrogant. Our hearts are diseased. Have a higher goal in your life. I can give you that if you like. If you don't have a goal. Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu. This is your goal. This is why you should live your life. Is to know yourself. If you got to know yourself, you will definitely have known your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in this life not to use the 60, 70 years to become an IT professional, to become a doctor, to become a lawyer, to become an engineer, to become this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this 60, 70, 80 years to become a human being. When the little kids, you ask them, what would you like to be? None of them are going to say, I would like to grow up to be a human being. They would say, I would like to grow up to become a doctor, lawyer, engineer. If you grow up and you become a lawyer, doctor, engineer, whatever, but you're not a human being, that information will not get you anything in this world or the hereafter. But if you become a human being and you're a doctor, La ilaha illallah, you will have so many opportunities to be able to do worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single patient you will see would be a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single patient that will get cured would be an opportunity for your levels in heaven to be elevated. But if you don't become a human being and you have all of this, Shaykh Mutahir rahmatullah, he says that a person who does not have knowledge, a person who is not a human being, knowledge in that person's hands, a person who is not a human being, knowledge in that person's hands is like a sword in the hands of a drunk man. The drunk man will hurt himself and will hurt others. The person who invented atomic energy, did he think, even for a moment, that one day it will become an atomic bomb? Did he ever think that this energy, this thing that he has devised or invented, one day would be put for the destruction of humanity? And millions of people will die. Did they ever think? No. Were they human beings? If they acquired the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of their souls, and that their Kaaba was Allah, and they elevated themselves from their animal instincts to their higher instincts, this world would be filled with justice and peace. You would not have one single person oppressing the other. Why do we oppress others? Because we're not human beings. We call ourselves. Why? Because you have two eyes, I have a nose, and I have ears, and I have a face, and I have a beard, and I have hair, and I have hands and feet, that I'm a human being. In that sense, Shimmer is also a human being. In that sense, Ibn Ziyad is also a human being. In that sense, Yazid is also a human being. Umar ibn Sa'd is a human being. Do we consider them human beings? We consider them worse than animals. Why do we consider them worse than animals? Because they did not have the characteristics of Allah. They did not acquire those characteristics, and their Kaaba, their Mahbar, their nucleus was not Allah. They looked like one, but their souls was worse than animals. So that means that some of us might get surprised to see our own selves on the Day of Judgment. I would be surprised. I did not know this is who I was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send us on this face of this earth to use our 60, 70, 80 years to become an animal. They are animals. We don't need to replace that creation. What do animals do? Ping, 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 ping. This is supposed to be the alarm. And a bird wakes up. Birds actually don't need alarms, but that's considered. A bird wakes up, is going flying around, sees a worm, catches it, sees some sticks fallen, catches those, comes back, makes that nest, brings those worms back home, feeds the kids. It's lunchtime, eats some of his own, the worms that is caught. Now continues gathering worms. Now it's night time, comes home, returns to a mortgage-free house. A mortgage-free house, relaxes, spends a little bit of time with the kids, gets tired, goes to sleep. Wakes up in the morning again, does the same thing. Does it sound like your schedule? Does it sound like your schedule? Yeah. If that is your schedule, then what is the difference between you and that bird? That bird wakes up with the tasbih of Allah. Yusabbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. That bird wakes up with the tasbih of Allah. That bird does not disobey even one law of Allah. That bird flies and eats what it is supposed to eat. It does not eat what it is not supposed to eat. It does not bring that food which is haram for the bird's kids. That bird raises those kids to be able to become independent and do the same. Not the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to eat haram, but to live in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Muslim. Submitting to His will. You think birds are not Muslim? They're Muslims. They are actually better Muslims than a lot of us Muslims. You've heard about a bird, Hudhud? In English, it's Woody Woodpecker. You've seen those Woody Woodpecker cartoons? Well, in our time we used to have. It's a bird that, you know, makes a hole in the tree and lives in the tree. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the bird missing, where is it? Comes, says, I have seen a land where I saw a massive government, I saw a queen, but these people who have all of these resources, it's a shame that they are worshipping other than Allah. With me? That they are worshipping something other than Allah, and I have come back with this news to tell you this, our Prophet of Allah, to save those people. This is a bird having pain in its heart for the betterment of humanity. It understands that these people who are worshipping anything other than Allah are not going to be successful. has come as a messenger to tell the Prophet to guide them. This Hudhud is doing Amar bin Maruf wa Nahi Anil Munkar. So bird is an animal. We see people doing worship of other than Allah. It's not our business. We see people breaking the laws of Allah. It's not our business. We see people going astray. Not our business. Do we feel the pain at least? At least feel that much pain as this Hudhud did for humanity. Here's an ant. Ant is saying, you know, I can see that there is a big lashkar, there is a big army coming. And you who have not seen this army coming, I want you to go in your homes. Because if this army comes, we will be destroyed. Is this Amar bin Maruf wa Nahi Munkar or no? Yes. This ant is telling the other ants to become saved. Their life will become in danger. At least have this much. At least have this much pain for humanity. At least have this much pain for your brothers and your sisters. We will be in loss if we did not use this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us to bring about that potential that we have inside, outside, with the tools that He's given to us. Imagine if I was to give you any clay maker, any like pots and clays, do you make that? No? Because we have little kids as well, I have to give them something too. Do you guys play with Play-Doh?
Yes.
Do you know what Play-Doh is? Right. Yeah. So Play-Doh, imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you Play-Doh and gives you all of these tools and says that you can make something which will have the same characteristics as me. I give you some tools. Your eyes are tools. Your ears are tools. Your nose is tools. Your hands are tools. Your feet are tools. Your imagination is a tool. Your intellect is a tool. Your ability to motivate yourself and others is a tool. Your desires that are kuvvat-e shahabiyya, your desires, these things that you like, this is a tool. Kuvvat-e ghadabiyya, these things that you drive or reverse, that you go away from, these are all tools. I want you to make something. And you know what? Some human beings actually made these statues of perfect human beings. They became the representatives of Allah on the face of this earth. 124,000 prophets, 14 masumin alayhi salam. The statues of perfection. The statues of a perfect human being. The statues of all of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. Now He said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have these statues, look towards these statues and become like that. Use your time wisely. What do? We say no. Yes, Rasulullah, yes, is a good statue. But we would like to become like biryani. There's a basketball player. We would like to become like Tom Cruise. We would like to become like Denzel Washington. We would like to become... Our haircut is going to be like George Clooney's haircut. Our style of walking is going to be this person's style of walking. Our way that we talk is going to be Al Pacino's way of talking. We are going to act and become anything but like the Prophet. Even our faces will not look like the Prophet's. Our way of living is not going to be the way that the Prophet lived or the Aimma lived. We will live the way the West lives. Eat as much as you want, sleep as much as you want, spend as much as you want, buy as much as you want, have a big house as much as you want, buy as bigger cars as much as you want. You get bored, watch TV, go on the internet, go on your iPhone, go on your iPod, do whatever your heart desires. Just don't get bored. Just keep on doing this. Get on to the hamster wheel and let's go forward. Have you seen a hamster wheel?
Yes.
Yeah, hamsters. They have this instinct to keep on running, walking. And if you want to cage them, you have to put a hamster wheel there so that the hamster can get on this hamster wheel and keep on turning and turning and turning. So it thinks it's going somewhere. Once it gets tired, it eats some food and drinks some water and goes to sleep. And then, when after 60 or 70 years of time passed, the person gets off of the hamster wheel, Hazrat Malakul Maut alayhi salatu wasalam comes and says, please, get off of this wheel. And the person says, well, did I get somewhere? So no, you didn't get somewhere, you are still in that cage where you were in, and now you have to get out of this cage. But now that you have to get out of this cage, the place that you're going now is going to be the grave which is going to squeeze every single sin out of you. And then those sins that are not squeezed out, you will put on this assembly plant called Barzakh. And through this purification plant of this assembly belt, you will go through little purifications of a window opened up of hell. Till you will get to the day of judgment, you will stand and you will still need to be purified in the bigger plant, which is called hell. And at that person, he will say, I did not use my capital. I did not use that play-doh. I did not use the potential. I did not use the tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me. Is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. You see that in Karbala. You see these individuals who are convinced. They have conviction. Even their kids are convinced. Here's little Sakina. 3 or 6 years old, she's convinced. She has yaqeen. Imam Hussain, after picking up all of the bodies as he did in his 58th year, tired now. If you were to have to pick the bodies of your loved one all day, you would get tired. When you would have to pick up the body of your 18-year-old son, you would be so tired that your son's body would be dragged in the sands of Karbala. Your back would have been broken because a bus is no longer. Your support is no longer there. His face, his beard is red. His beard was not red when he entered Karbala. This redness on his beard is the blood of Ali Asghar. He's tired. He still has a duty to do. He looks around. There's no one to help him with Zuljana. He looks towards the battlefield. Bibi Zainab saw it. Bibi Zainab saw that my brother is feeling helpless right now. You know, she helped the imams. She helped the imams. She always supported the imam. She supported Imam Sajjad when he saw the bodies in Karbala. He supported. She held his hand. She said, "What are you doing? Have patience. I will help you, my brother." How? Bismillah. Bibi helps Imam Hussain. He gets on to Zuljanah. Said, "Zuljanah, let's go." Zuljanah doesn't move. Imam Hussain, "Zuljanah, this is the last task I will ask you. Ye pura kar do, bas, aur kuch nahi, aapse kuch nahi mangenge, abhi hame Karbala mein le jao, maidan mein le jao." Zuljanah looks down as if he's saying something. "How can I move when Sakina is wrapped around my legs?" Tears in his eyes. Imam Hussain Sato San looks. Bibi Sakina is holding the leg of Zuljanah, saying, "Please, Zuljanah, please don't take my Baba there from which no one has come back." She saw Hazrat Abbas went, didn't come back. Hazrat Ali Akbar went, didn't come back. Hazrat Qasim went on home, but no one came back. "Don't take me." Imam Hussain comes down from Zuljanah. Now here's a father who is trying to say goodbye to his daughter who does not want to say goodbye. Has it ever happened to you? You try to come out of your house and you want to say goodbye to your daughter, but your daughter does not want to say goodbye. She doesn't want to let you go to work. She holds you, "Baba, don't go." Even though she knows that my Baba will come back after the work is done, Bibi Sakina knows that my Baba is not coming back. Listen, that Imam Hussain held Sakina in his arms and cried so loudly that the enemy said, "We never saw, heard Hussain cry so much." Lies in the sand of Karbala. "Betty, my daughter, my chest. You want to lie down on it for a little while? Maybe it will comfort you." Imam Hussain, you probably knew that Sakina would not have this chest to sleep for 1 year in the Tunnel of Sham. She would have to sleep on the floor that was wet and dirty. Bibi Sakina puts her head in. Imam Hussain says, "Daughter, look, if I don't go, the religion of your grandfather will be finished. Look at the conviction of this little girl. She has the blood of Bibi Fatima. She has the blood of Imam Hassan. She has the blood of the Holy Prophet. Look at the conviction in this girl's voice. Baba, go. Baba, go. If the religion of my grandfather is in danger, go. I will be okay in Shamilariba. I will take the slaps of these men. When they take the earrings out of my ears and my ears will bleed, I will take that. When they will put us in one rope and drag us from Karbala to Kufa, Kufa to Sham, I will bear that. But the one thing I will not be able to bear is to hold your severed head in the zindan, in the prison of Sham. When this severed head will be given to me, I will take it close to my cheeks. And at that time, I will go and come and see you." Curse the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Get them out of your mercy. Allow these tears of ours to become a source of forgiveness for our souls. Allow these broken hearts to be always broken in the Messiah of your homes. Give us the ability to become the companions and the friends of Imam Hussein. Give us the opportunity to become the companions and the friends of the Imam Hussein of the time. Destroy the enemies of Islam, destroy all of their clans. Give us the opportunity to unite under one leadership. May the Marja's life be elongated. May they live for long and keep on giving us the guidance. May Allah SWT give us the strength to be able to obey Him.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wal 'asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus